As Burnside's inept operations ground miserably to a halt in the mud around the Rappahannock River, he in turn was replaced by General Hooker. Better known as Fighting Joe Hooker, the new commander of the Army of the Potomac planned a two-pronged attack on Lee. Part of his army launched an understandably half-hearted assault on the old Confederate positions at Fredericksburg, while he himself intended to attack Lee's left wing at Chancellorsville. Unfortunately, Hooker lost his nerve at the very last moment, and despite an overwhelming superiority in numbers, stood on the defensive and was badly beaten. By the middle of May, Hooker was back across the Rappahannock again, having lost nearly 17,000 men. Once again, Lee was ordered to follow up his victory by invading the north. The Confederate government was only too well aware by now that it could not hope to win a defensive war. The odds against it were simply too great. The South's survival depended now on winning a swift and decisive victory, which might, even at this late stage, force the federal government to the negotiating table. Early on the morning of the 1st of July, 1863, a Confederate divisional commander, General Heth, moved his men towards the small town of Gettysburg. Rumor said that there was a supply of boots in the town. Instead, they ran into General John Buford's Union cavalry. Dismounting his two brigades, Buford tried to hold a position on a ridge to the east of the town. Heth immediately called for reinforcements. After a time, Buford in turn called for help, and both armies ponderously swung around and headed for the small Pennsylvania town. At first, the fighting went in the Confederacy's favor. General Reynolds was killed at the head of the Union First Corps. His men fell back from the town to hold a strong position on Cemetery Hill to the south. History, however, does not record whether Heth's men ever got the boots they were looking for. By nightfall, Meade's Union Army had closed up to occupy a hook-shaped position running west from Culp's Hill to Cemetery Hill, and then southwest along the line of the Emmitsburg Road. Next day, Confederate attacks at the northern end of the battlefield got nowhere. Their start positions were far too cramped and completely dominated by Meade's guns. But further to the south, General Longstreet succeeded in pushing the Union forces back from the Emmitsburg Road and up onto the ridge behind. The battle had now been raging for 2 days without a decisive result, and a third day's fighting was going to be necessary. Lee was desperate to secure a decisive victory, but the Union forces were now well settled into their position along 7 miles of hills and ridges. Culp's Hill, Cemetery Ridge, Round Top, and Little Round Top. After more half-hearted attempts on the Union right flank, anchored on Culp's Hill, and the left on the two Round Tops, Lee gambled everything on a massed frontal assault by 10 infantry units on Cemetery Ridge, the very center of Meade's line. At 1:45 on the afternoon of the 3rd of July, 1863, General Pickett's Virginians stepped out across the valley floor and together with Trimble's and Pettigrew's divisions started the long climb up the bare hillside. Despite mounting casualties, they struggled upwards to the low stone wall which marked the Union front line. But unable to find sufficient men, or the will to surmount it in the face of the blizzard of rifle and cannon fire being poured into them, they hesitated and then fell back down the hill. The feared counterattack by General Meade failed to materialize, and instead, on the afternoon of the 4th of July, Lee began his retreat, preceded by a column of ambulances 17 miles long. On the same day, General Grant took Vicksburg. The whole length of the Mississippi River was now under federal control, and the Confederacy had been cut in two.